Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is Yasir Qadhi welcoming you to the MuslimMatters.org podcast. For more quality media, be sure to subscribe to our podcast. Wa jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Inna alhamdulillah, nahmaduhu wa nasta'inuhu wa nasta'afiruhu. Wa na'udhu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyati a'malina. Man yahdihi allahu falamudilla lah, wa man yudlilhu falamudilla lah. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالًا كثيرًا ونساءً واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, right now we are experiencing the beginnings of the summer month. And our youth and our youngsters, our future generation of leaders, they are in their summer vacations and they are coming to the masajid. And it is an ideal time to address them because we concentrate on the elders too much. So I ask your indulgence today to, instead of addressing the elders in the crowd, to direct a khutbah that is intended for our youth, that is intended for the next generation of Islam. And I ask my young brothers and sisters in Islam, especially those who are sitting in the back and are used to not listening to the khutbah, I ask you that today, this khutbah is meant for you. Today's topic is meant for your ears and not for the ears of the elders. My young brothers and sisters in Islam, when you look at the Quran, you find that Allah has mentioned many stories of youth, many stories of those children, really, who did so much and accomplished so many ideals. And so the Quran addresses youth along with addressing the elders. And one of the most fascinating stories in the Quran that deals with youth is the story of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. The Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam, many stories are mentioned about him in the Quran, but there is a number of incidents that occurred to him when he was a child, when he was a youth. And all of you are aware of these stories. We study them in Sunday school. Briefly, we know that when Ibrahim was a young child, probably less than 13 years old, when Ibrahim was a young teenager, probably not even a teenager, he realized that his nation was upon misguidance. He realized that they're worshipping idols, and it doesn't make sense to worship idols. He realized that there's nothing more logical, more rational than worshipping one God, the perfect God, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without any revelation coming to him, he knew that only Allah is worthy of worship. He was not a prophet at this time. Wahi, revelation had not yet begun, but he knew that his nation was upon misguidance. And so, he wanted to show to his people, that this was not right what they were doing. What did he do? You all know the story. He entered into the temple when everybody was absent, and he took an axe and he destroyed all of the smaller idols, and then he hung the axe on the biggest idol, on the largest idol, on the main idol. And then when the townspeople returned, they were shocked to see that their whole temple had been destroyed. All the idols had been destroyed. And they said, who could have dared do this to our idols? One of them said, قَالُوا سَمِعْنَا فَتَنْ يَذْكُرُهُمْ. There was a little kid talking about them. Fata, he was a little kid. There was a little kid talking about these idols. يُقَالُوا لَهُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. They say his name is Ibrahim. He's not famous, he's not a prophet yet. Nobody knows him, but he's a little kid talking about why are you worshipping these gods. And then when these gods are destroyed, the first culprit that comes to mind is this little kid. So they call him. Can you imagine? Can you imagine the entire city is surrounding him? The elders, the noblemen, the king himself comes. And he single-handedly is in the interrogation docket right there. Everybody's eyes are on him. And they ask him, did you do this? Did you do this? What was his response? Where did he get the courage, the intelligence, the wisdom to utter what he uttered? Surrounded by his whole clan, his whole tribe, his civilization. This little kid says, I didn't do it. Go ask these other idols. Surely they must have witnessed. Surely they must have seen what's going on. I mean, you worship them. They must be intelligent, rational beings. They must be able to defend themselves. Why didn't they defend themselves? It looks like the biggest idol did it because he must have gotten jealous. He made a mockery of their religion. A little kid, where did he get the guts? Where did he get the intelligence to challenge his whole society and to say, what are you doing? How could you be worshiping these idols? And when he gave them this argument, and the argument was, how could you worship a God that can't even defend himself? This is what you call a religion? How could you worship a statue, a rock, a stone? It can't even talk, it can't even speak. When he gave him this argument, they were completely dumbfounded. They couldn't respond. A little kid stumps them. They couldn't respond, and they had a private meeting. What do we do? What do we do here? How can we respond? And then they say, well, we have to make an example. We have to persecute him. We have to kill him so nobody else does this. And so the brave men that they were gathered together to kill a 13-year-old innocent child. And they build a huge fire, as you all know. And they told him, okay, look, if you say you were wrong, we'll spare you. If you admit you were wrong and return to our religion, you'll live. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, despite his age, stood his ground and said, Allah will protect me. My Lord will protect me. And when he was taken in and thrown into that fire, Allah from above the seven heavens said, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَسَلَامًا عَلَى إِبْرَاهِيمُ. Allah commanded the fire that be a coolness and be a comfort for Ibrahim. When the people couldn't kill this child, his own father, Ibrahim's father, who was one of the idol makers, right? Ibrahim's father was one of those who's earning a business selling idols. He's one of the main guys in the industry. He doesn't want to lose his business. And his son is preaching a doctrine that will make him bankrupt. His son is preaching Tawheed, La ilaha illallah. So his own father says to him, get out of here. Get out of here. You have no business remaining in my land, in my house. I'm not going to take care of you. Ibrahim alayhi salam says, my dear father, Ya Abati, I'm coming to you with guidance. My dear father, how can you worship a false God that can't even hear and see? My dear father, don't worship shaitan. My dear father, Allah is forgiving and merciful. My dear father. His father says, وَإِلَّمْ تَنْتَهِ لَأَرْجُمَنَّكَ. If you don't shut up, I will kick you out and stone you to death. This is Ibrahim's father speaking to him. If you don't stop doing this, I'm going to stone you to death. What was Ibrahim's response? قَالَ سَلَامٌ عَلَيْكَ. سَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ رَبِّي. May peace be with you, my dear father. I will continue asking Allah to guide you. And then the story goes on, Ibrahim becomes an adult. But this all occurred when Ibrahim is a young child. Now, what can we gain, my dear young brothers and sisters? Those of you who are at that age, or before that age, or cross that age, you have an Ibrahim, a role model. You have an Ibrahim, so many lessons to learn from. First and foremost, the fact that he's thinking far more deeply, profoundly than the average 13-year-old kid. He's not worried about the latest fads, the latest trends, what's cool, what's not. He's thinking about life, the meaning of life, the purpose of being on this earth. He's thinking long term. He's thinking, why am I here? What is the best way to worship this God? Before even the book comes, before he's a prophet, Ibrahim is thinking very profoundly because he's an intelligent kid. He's not going with the fad and the fashions. He's thinking about what is the meaning of life. Secondly, you guys complain about peer pressure, and wallahi, I understand peer pressure is bad. Of course it is. You want to conform, you want to fit into the crowd. But here is Ibrahim alayhi salam. Forget fitting into the crowd of his age. Can you imagine the peer pressure on him? Can you imagine how it must have been like for him to single-handedly stand up and not just tell his fellow 13-year-old teenagers, but all of society, I am different. I am a Muslim and I'm proud of that. Can you imagine the gall, the audacity, the courage that he must have had to ignore all of that peer pressure? Because he knows that there's nothing cooler than being a Muslim. There's nothing that's more correct than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't want to conform with his friends because he has a higher guidance than that. And so forget not just conforming with his friends. He broke away from all of society. Everyone in society. Another benefit that we gain.
Yes, we're living at a time in America where people make fun of our religion. They say bad things about our God, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It really hurts us. And a lot of times it hurts us so much we become ashamed. We become embarrassed. We don't want people to know we're a Muslim. Because everybody's making fun of our religion. We don't want to be put in the limelight. We don't want all the attention centered on us. Why? Because people ridicule. People make fun of. People give slurs. They're racist. They're xenophobic. They're Islamophobic. It's just difficult being a Muslim. And I know that our parents don't understand that. I know that when you go to school, it's a different world. Your parents are never going to know that world. The pressure's there. The people that make fun of you. The fellow kids, the pressure to be cool and trendy. That's something that our parents are not going to understand. You enter a different world. I understand that. But you're not alone. Ibrahim did it before you, and he did it in a far more difficult world. It wasn't your local high school, kids. He was facing death. He was facing persecution. The people weren't just mocking him by putting stupid names on him, by calling him names. They weren't just throwing slurs at him. You all know this, the expression that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can't hurt me. Well, here's Ibrahim. He wasn't even faced with sticks and stones. He was faced with a fire. He was faced with a fire. And he was told, choose between being a Muslim and between being a pagan. And he chose being a Muslim. And when he chose being a Muslim, we gained another benefit. When you turn to Allah, Allah will help you. Doesn't matter how old you are. You don't need to be an adult to turn to Allah. When you turn to Allah, Allah will help you. Allah will protect you. It doesn't matter how young, how old you are. Allah created you, Allah created me. And when you are persecuted, and this is a type of persecution that we're facing, nothing as bad as Ibrahim, no question. Nobody's threatening to kill us. Nobody's threatening to throw us into a fire, but they are making fun of us. They're making fun of our names. They're making fun of our religion. They're making fun of things that happen in the world and they translate it down to us. Okay, it's difficult. But come on, let's get real. It's nothing compared to what Ibrahim alayhi salam dealt with. And he stood up single-handedly and he turned to Allah and he said, Allah is going to help me. So next time people throw slurs at you, next time your friends make a sarcastic comment, next time they try to diss you, you know what? Be a Muslim and be proud of it and turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua to Allah. Oh Allah, give me the strength like you gave to Ibrahim. And oh Allah, give me that patience. And oh Allah, give me the manners that you gave to him as well. Also, another benefit that we learned from, beautiful benefit. You know, we all hear, and I know at this age, we get tired of being told that Islam teaches us to be good to our parents. Yeah. Yes, we all know Jannah is under the feet of our mothers. We all know we're not supposed to say anything back to them. Okay, but when you read the story of Ibrahim, what do you see? What do you see in how he dealt with his own father? His father didn't just put a lot of rules on him. His father didn't just tell him, you have to pray, you have to go to the masjid, you have to go Sunday school. My dear young brothers and sisters, these rules that your parents are giving you, wallahi, they're meant for your good. I know you don't like hearing that, but it's meant for your good. Ibrahim's father was not giving him rules for his good. Ibrahim's father was saying, go worship an idol. Your father is saying, go to the masjid, go to Sunday school, memorize some Quran. Your mother is saying, be a good child. You can't compare that. Ibrahim's father said, if you don't worship my idol, I'm going to kick you out of my house. Can you imagine your mother and father being that nasty to you? That mean to you? It's inhuman. It's unbelievable. Yet, despite all of that, what was Ibrahim's reaction? Because he's a Muslim. And he knows it doesn't matter what your mother and father do to you. You bite your tongue down, you control your anger, and you never respond back rudely because you have no right to do that. It doesn't matter what they do to you. Ibrahim's father said, I'm going to kick you out and I will stone you to death unless you worship my idol. And what did Ibrahim say? Qala salamun alayk. Peace be unto you, my father. Peace be unto you. And I will continue to make dua for you. And he left a 13-year-old kid. He was kicked out of his house. But not one word against the father that did that. Not one oof. Not one how could you and I'm this and I'm that. Brothers and sisters, my young brothers and sisters, we are Muslims. We have ethics, we have manners. We have a system of living our lives. And Ibrahim alayhi salam embodied that system as a child, as a teenager, and as an adult. And I want every one of you to think about the story of Ibrahim alayhi salam and to derive so many benefits from it. And to summarize so that the point is very clear. Benefit number one, Ibrahim alayhi salam is thinking long term. He's a visionary. He's not just running with the show. He's not just falling prey to every single fad, every single trend. If it's cool to do this, I want to do it. No! Ibrahim is thinking long term. Number two, Ibrahim has guts for the sake of Islam. Not for the sake of being cool, for the sake of his Lord. It doesn't matter what people say. He has a mission on this earth, and that mission is to worship Allah. And nobody's going to get in the way of that mission. Number three, when the going gets tough, the Muslim turns to Allah. When it gets tough, you don't just go into a shell. You don't just pretend you're not a Muslim. You don't just ignore everything. No. You return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you make dua to Allah. Number four, you act wisely. When Ibrahim was cornered, when Ibrahim alayhi salam was put on that inquisition, that trial, he managed to stump all of the adults. A Muslim kid is an intelligent kid. A Muslim kid is an intelligent kid. He's a smart kid. Ibrahim as a kid is able to stump all of the adults. That's what you call a visionary. That's what you call an intellectual. Because once again, he's not wasting his time. He's thinking, he's contemplating. Every one of us has a brain. What makes an intellectual intellectual? It's simply the same reason why the bodybuilder becomes a bodybuilder. Every day he goes to the gym, every day he works out, what's going to happen? He's going to get a body. Well then what's going to happen when you use the brain that Allah has given you? When you use it to think, to contemplate, to read, to educate yourself? That's what Ibrahim did. Well then he's going to develop a brain. And a Muslim kid is a smart kid. And therefore, I'll say this as bluntly as I can, a Muslim kid pays attention to his secular studies along with his religious studies. A Muslim kid gets straight A's in school because he's a Muslim kid. A Muslim kid is going to hit the books, even if it's chemistry or physics or whatever it is. He's going to hit the books because he knows every bit of knowledge is beneficial for him. So the Muslim kid is an intelligent kid. And the last point that we'll mention here, and again, so much may derive, but time is of essence here. The last point, a Muslim child understands that he never has the right to answer back to his parents. That he never has the right to be rude to his parents. Sure, if you don't like something, speak in a good manner, in an intellectual manner, like Ibrahim did. My dear father, why are you doing this? My dear father, that. There's a way. Nobody's saying you have to be silent. If you don't like something, try to negotiate with politeness, with manners. But never, under no circumstance, can you be rude to your mother and father. And these are simply some of the lessons that we derive from the story of the Prophet Ibrahim as a young teenager. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes us of those who understand these beautiful lessons and morals and makes us of those who follow in the footsteps of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. Barakallahu wa lakum fi al-Qur'an al-Azim. Wa nafa'ni wa iyaakum bima fihi min al-ayati wa dhikr al-hakim. Aqulu ma tasma'un wa astaghfirullah al-Azim li wa lakum risal muslimin bi kulli dhanbin fastaghfiruhu innahu huwa al-ghafur al-Rahim. الحمد لله الواحد الأحد الفرد الصمد الذي لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد وبعد. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, my younger brothers and sisters in Islam in particular, one of the most interesting miracles that Allah has given all of mankind, one of the most fascinating miracles is that of time. Time is a miracle, it's a creation of Allah. Allah created time. And it's something that none of us truly understands. You know Einstein, you've all heard the name. He became famous because he just tried to just understand what exactly is time. What exactly does time do? Just by scratching the surface and talking a little bit about time, he became world famous. But we're never going to fully understand what time is. We're never going to fully understand how is it that all of us sitting here have the exact same amount of time. Per hour, per minute, per day. But some of us utilize it and others don't. And realize that time is so amazing that Allah gives oaths by time. He swears. What does it mean to swear? When Allah swears, what this means is that Allah gives a qasam in Arabic. You know when somebody says you're lying, then you say, Wallahi, I'm telling the truth. I swear by Allah, I'm telling the truth. This is what we mean by swearing, by giving an oath. Now, we as Muslims can only swear using the name of Allah. We're not allowed to put anything else in. But Allah is allowed to use His creation to swear. his creation to give oats by. When he uses something of the creation, it shows that this aspect of the creation is amazing. It's miraculous. So our prophets, our Lord sometimes swears by the Prophet ﷺ. فَلَا وَرَبِّكَ. Our Lord sometimes swears by the creation of the heavens and earth. And in many verses, our Lord swears by time. Not just once, many times. وَالْفَجْرِ, the time of Fajr. وَالْضُحَى, the time of the sun rising up. وَالْعَصْرِ, the time of the forenoon. وَالشَّمْسِ وَضُحَاهَا. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا يَغْشَاهَا. وَالنَّهَارِ إِذَا تَجَلَّاهَا. The night and the day and all of the time. Allah is swearing by all the time. And what this means is that time is a beautiful, amazing miracle that Allah has given. But one of the things about time that we all know is that we only get to spend it once. There's only one, we can't go back and redo. We have it, we spend it, and that's it. And the wise person understands this point and utilizes his or her time for that which is beneficial. Because time will only come to you once. And now we're at the beginning of our summer months here. When you have 2.5 long months ahead of you, you don't know what you're going to do with that time. My dear young brothers and sisters in Islam, the wise child, the one who wants to follow along the footsteps of Ibrahim alayhi salam, will take advantage of that time. Because believe you me, as you grow older and older, you will have less and less time. As responsibilities grow, as your education grows, as you get married and have your own children, do you think you're going to have more time or less time? Right now, Allah has given you a solid amount of time with nothing to do. Your parents are taking care of you. Your mother cooks your dishes for you, does your laundry for you. How long do you think you're going to have all of this time just to kill? And look how we even call it killing time. Killing is not good, even if you do it to time. Look at how much time Allah has given you. You have a summer month ahead of you. How are you going to take advantage of that? Now, I'm not telling you that you shouldn't be spending time having fun and going to play and playing computer games. No, I'm not telling you that. I mean, mortal combat is not haram. Alhamdulillah, it's halal. But too much of halal does become problematic. I mean, candy is halal, chocolates are halal. What would happen if you ate chocolate all day and all night? Do you think that'd be healthy for you? And so, of course, it's halal to play computer games, but let's get real here. I mean, Grand Theft Auto is not going to teach you how to be a good person, and you know that. You know that, even if your dad has no idea what the game is, you know that that's not going to teach you how to be a good Muslim, how to be a good human. And also, I mean, come on, let's get real here as well. We all know it's cool to download the hacks and the ways out of Call of Duty. But we as Muslims have a real Call of Duty. And that Call of Duty is to answer Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I mean, don't you think, my young brothers and sisters, that here you are battling this evil monster or alien or whoever it is with your fingertips, going away all day, hours and hours, you're experts at it. But once you close that computer game and you leave the fantasy world, don't you realize there's real evil around you? That you have to battle not just with your thumbs, not just with the tips of your fingers, but with your soul and desire, with your heart and your brains. If you're studying through this to battle evil, if you're gaining skills to battle evil, well then use it in the real world. You want to know who a real monster is? It's not that little fantasy thing that you see on the pixels of your screen. It's somebody who tries to sell you drugs. That's a real monster. You know what real evil is? It's somebody who tells you to download stuff you shouldn't be downloading from the computer, to watch things that you know you shouldn't be watching. That's real evil. Let's see if you're as good as repelling that evil as you are moving on to the next level in Call of Duty. Because that's your real Call of Duty. And that is to be a Muslim kid. That is to be somebody who knows Allah is watching him, even if his mother and father are not watching him. My dear brothers and sisters in Islam, our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that seven people will be sheltered on the Day of Judgment when there is no shelter other than his shelter. And one of those, he said, شَابٌ نَشَأَ فِي عِبَادَةِ اللَّهِ. It's a young man or a young woman, a kid basically, who grows up worshipping Allah. As a young child, as a teenager, as a young adult, their passions, their intellect, their body and soul is interested in something higher than mere games and play. And again, please don't get me wrong. It's completely permissible to play, but a little bit of chocolate is good for the day, not too much. A little bit of these things are good. And reading is better than playing computer games. reading anything, not just Islamic books, reading fiction, reading science fiction, reading mystery, and better than fiction is to read actual books. Read Scientific American, read something that is appealing to you. Read something of fact, of geography, of history, any science that you find interesting. That is even better than reading fiction. And better than reading non-fiction is to read about your own religion. And a little bit of each. Nobody's saying you immerse yourself in Islam day and night. Nobody can do that. Nobody can do that. Play a little bit. Go out and play outside as well. And playing outside is better than sitting at home and reading. Being physical, playing some basketball, taking your bike out. That's better because your body benefits. But do a little bit of this and a little bit of that. As you go and play on your games, as you go and play some basketball, shoot a few hoops and do whatever you want with your friends, also spend a little bit of time with the Book of Allah. Memorize a different surah. Understand the chapters that you read. Take a book about the Prophet's life and read it cover to cover. If you don't know, go to others for advice. Which book is good for my age? Which lecture should I listen to? There's so much out there targeting your age. And you have a whole summer ahead of you. By the time this summer finishes, have a goal. I want to memorize another half juz, another juz. I want to study the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. My young brothers and sisters in Islam, this time that you have is not going to come back. And believe you me, listen, I grew up playing computer games. Definitely not the type you guys played, but way back, we also had our computer games, right? Believe me, I hardly remember all of the codes and all of the stuff. It didn't benefit me at all. What's going to happen 20, 30, 40 years down the line with all the time that you spend on computer games? But to this day, I remember what I did for the sake of Islam. I memorized the juz when I was how many years old, and I still have that juz with me. Whereas the same summer, I play also computer games, those computer games are gone. A little bit of this and a little bit of that. Yes, enjoy and have fun in life, but realize that life is more than fun and games. Realize that Allah created you for a divine purpose. And therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, realize that Islam is the best blessing Allah has ever given you. Islam is the best treasure. It is the best prize. There is nothing that is better than being a Muslim. And it doesn't matter how old or how young you are, to be a Muslim is something that's possible. You don't have to be an adult to be a good Muslim. All children, the Prophet said, are born upon Islam. There's a hadith, all children are born upon the religion of Islam. Naturally, they're inclined to be Muslim. And so here we have it, in the life and times of the Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salam. A beautiful role model. And our Prophet Muhammad himself was told in the Quran that, O Muhammad, you have a role model in Ibrahim. You should look up to the Prophet Ibrahim as well. And if this is something that he was told, then where do you think I stand and you stand, my young brothers and sisters in Islam? I want to say that I understand that life is tough at your age. I understand that there's a lot of pressures and tensions. I might not know those pressures and tensions, but it wasn't too long ago that I was a kid. And I understand that our parents don't understand. I understand that. And you have to understand as well that our parents don't understand because they haven't lived our lives. They didn't go through the public high schools here. They didn't have the type of tensions, the type of peer pressure that you have. They are a generation that has come from a different land and place. Cut them some slack. But let me tell you one thing. When you get to their age, and when you have your own kids, mark my words, you will be stricter with your own children than your parents were with you. You know all these rules that you're complaining about? When you get to the age of your parents and you have your own children, because you know reality better than your parents, because you've experienced life in these schools and experienced life growing up in America, and you know the world better than your parents do in the world that you occupy, you will not want your children to do what you're doing. And you will not want your children to have those opportunities, those access to evil that you have. So you're going to be even stricter with them. And believe me, I am a parent now. And I grew up here as well. And that's exactly what I'm doing. Talk is cheap. And at this age, you cannot fully comprehend this. But I want to conclude by saying that my young brothers and sisters, do realize that whatever your parents are doing, they're doing it out of a sense of love and protection. Sometimes you don't understand the rules. And yes, sometimes the rules are not very correct. They're really not smart rules. But they're doing it out of love. You cannot compare that with what Ibrahim's father did. They're doing it to protect you. They're doing it to make you a better person. And realize that no matter how harsh they are with you and how much they might daunt you or might get angry at you or scold you, believe you me, in the end of the day, and I speak on behalf of all the parents here, We're very proud of each and every one of you. We're proud of all that you've accomplished. We're proud that you're doing far more than we could have done. We're proud that there's so much pressure on you. And I know that sometimes we don't say that as much as we should. I know that we sometimes don't encourage you too much, and we're always just rebuking you and scolding you and telling you to do this and that. But deep down inside, we're so proud of everything that you've done. And I want to tell you as a parent that all that I am doing for my kids, all that your parents are doing for you, everything that is being done, it is for you, for the future generation. We're building these mosques, not for me, for you. We're having schools, not for me, for you. We're going to work and earning money, not for me, but for you. All that we do, my young brothers and sisters, all of it is meant for you, because you are our pride. You are what gives us motivation. You are what allows us to be who we are. And a lot of times we don't say that as we should, but that's how parents are, that we can't communicate our feelings like that. But I'll speak on behalf of your parents, and I'm saying this to my own kids as well, that we are very proud of you. And we want you to have the best of this world and the next. And we want you to know that if we fall short, that if we do things that we shouldn't do, we're doing this because we don't have experience. You're our kids. We're doing everything we can, but we're doing this to make the world a better place for you. We're doing this to give you the best that we possibly can in this world and in the next. And we hope that inshallah ta'ala, you're going to continue to make us proud. You're going to continue to make us feel that motivated. And we hope that once we're gone from this earth and you have your own children, that you will then also pass that legacy down to them. Because we realize that the best legacy that we can give you is the legacy of Islam. And the best prize that we can protect for you is the prize to be a Muslim. So we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala causes all of us to live as Muslims and to die as Muslims and to be resurrected as Muslims. Allahumma inni da'in fa'aminu. اللهم لا تدع لنا في هذا اليوم ذما إلا غفرته ولا هما إلا فرجته ولا دينا إلا قضيته ولا مريضا إلا شفيته ولا عسيرا إلا يسرته. اللهم اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا بالإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم أعز الإسلام والمسلمين. اللهم من أرادنا أو أراد الإسلام والمسلمين بالسوء فأشغله بنفسه واجعل تدميره في تدبيره يا قوي يا عزيز. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى أمركم بأمر بدأ به بنفسه وثنى بملائكة قدسه وثلث بكم أيها المؤمنون من جنه وإنسه، فقال عز من قائل عليما: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك وأنعم على عبدك ورسولك محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. عباد الله، إن الله تعالى يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. اذكروا الله العظيم يذكركم واشكروه يزد لكم ولذكر الله تعالى أعلى وأجل وأكبر وأقم الصلاة.
You've been listening to the MuslimMatters.org podcast. For more quality media, please visit the site at MuslimMatters.org. جزاكم الله خير والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.